At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows the name. Read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it. It's time for the truth. Here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth. Here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Listening to Haney.
Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, brought to you by HaneyUniversity.com. Go to HaneyUniversity.com if you want to get a golf lesson from me. You can find out all the information there about either coming to Deerfield, Illinois, or if you're in this area, you could just slide on over to the golf practice and get a golf lesson from me there, or at my golf studio in Paradise Valley, Arizona. Great place to take a little fall or winter vacation because it is beautiful weather right now in Arizona. Absolutely beautiful. Chicago? Yeah, not so much. Getting a little cooler. We're here for the hockey, though. And it's the same temperature in the rink every day. It's funny, like people that I see, like I still run into people that say, Hank, why did you move to Chicago? I'm like, they go, do you know how cold it is here? And I'm like, I did not move for the weather. I moved for my son Henry's hockey. That's why. And you know what? It doesn't matter to me because I got a great place to teach at the golf practice. And again, I gave another golf lesson today. And I thought, you know, once again, I thought the same thing. It is so much better to teach indoors than it is outdoors. You know, like I've always taught some indoors because all of my facilities that I've had for the last, you know, how many years? Long time now. So for the last, I've had indoor facilities for the last probably 30-something years. And I've always taught some indoors, but I guess I didn't realize how much better it is. When I first started teaching indoors, you know, you had a video camera, and that was it. But with the launch monitors and the simulators, wow. I mean, because I enjoyed teaching indoors when we were just hitting into a net. And all we were doing there, the only feedback we would get would just be, you know, me saying, hey, good going, or taking a video of their swing and showing, hey, look, this looks better. See how much better this is? But people were always anxious to be able to get outside and see where the ball was going. And you know what? All that changed with the simulators. And they are absolutely fantastic. I use the Foresight simulator in Arizona, and then in Chicago at the golf practice, they have the TrackMan simulator. They're both great. I mean, you see exactly where the ball's going, the trajectory. You got all the statistics and numbers in front of you, so you know exactly what the person's doing. I'll tell you what, it keeps a teacher on their toes. I mean, you can't, like, there's no BSing. I mean, you can't just like, hey, oh, that looks better. Oh, you're going to do so much better. Well, it's right there. I mean, you see somebody swinging the club 6 degrees out to in or 6 degrees in to out, and you tell them to do this, you tell them to do that. I mean, it's either getting better or it's not. I mean, do you notice a change or not? And it's right there in front of you. I absolutely love it. You know, one of the things that I think is so important is the beginning of a golf lesson and understanding what kind of premises you're going by. And when I teach, my main thing is based off of, obviously it's based off of you hitting better golf shots so you play better golf. But there's two kind of main areas that I really point to. And when I start off a lesson, I'm always quickly to explain this to people. Number one, my penalty shots, two chips, and three putts. So three keys to golf, eliminating penalty shots, two chips, and three putts. The first thing you have to do is eliminate the penalty shots because, you know, when you swing, you want to lie one, not swing and you got to hit again and now you lie three out there where you could have, should have, would have lied one. So penalty shots are the most important thing. The next most important, I would say, would be the three putts because you have the opportunity to three putt, you know, every hole. And you have an opportunity to take penalty shots on every hole. But the two chips, I mean, you're going to hit a certain amount of greens or you're going to hit it up near the green where you could putt it on the green or something. The two chipping is probably the third most important thing. But they are all important. They're all important. When I was talking to one of my students today, I said, this is the same thing at every level of the game. And the examples I use are, you know, back in the day when I coached Tiger Woods, he was winning like 50% of the tournaments on the PGA Tour for a 3-year stretch, which was absolutely incredible because Jack Nicklaus won 12% in his career, and Tiger for a 3-year stretch was winning 50% of his tournaments. But Steve Williams was Tiger's caddy at the time, and he would keep statistics, and I've mentioned this before, but he would keep statistics, and his statistics said if Tiger didn't three-putt, he would have won 85% of the tournaments he played in during that period of time when I was coaching him, 85%. It's the same thing for every golfer, and you know, another example I use is back to the 2019 Masters, which Tiger won. He had 2 3-putts in that tournament. And didn't have any two chips or the penalty shots. Didn't have that. Had the 2 3-putts. Brooks Koepka had 5 3-putts and 4 penalty shots, and lost by one. That is what you call pissing a tournament away. That is a shoulda, woulda, coulda. Total 9 in those 3 categories, and lose to a guy that totals 2 and lose by 1 shot. That is one that definitely got away. But it's the same thing at every level of the game. It doesn't matter whether you're a player that's trying to break 100 or 90 or 80 or 70 or you're trying to be a scratch player or you're, you know, it doesn't matter what level you are. It's just it's the same 3 keys. So I always explain that to people. And then the next thing I always explain is the 9 shots. There's 9 shots that you would like to be able to hit. I haven't seen many people that can hit the 9 shots, not on call. Matter of fact, I've kind of only seen one that could really hit the 9 shots on call, and that was Tiger back in the day because he could hit the 9 shots. And the 9 shots are straight ball, low, medium, and high, and a right-to-left shot. Ball starting right, curving back to the target, but not past the target, low, medium, and high, and then a ball starting left of the target, and then curving back to the target, low, medium, and high. So you're not trying to curve it past the target because the reason I explain to people that you want to have those nine shots is well, there's multiple reasons. One, you want to have the ability to fix yourself. And you fix yourself by trying to play the opposite shot. Sam Snead said it best. He said, they asked him, I said, what do you do when you're slicing the ball? He goes, well, I play with it on the golf course, and then I go to the driving range and I hook it for like 30 minutes. And then they asked, well, what do you do when you're hooking the ball? He said, well, I play with it on the golf course if that's all I got, and then I go to the driving range and I cut it for 30 minutes. And I find my way back to middle ground. That's what it's all about, trying to find your way back to middle ground. A lot of people are on the edge. They're on the edge getting ready to fall off is where they are. And you want to get in the middle. And the way you do that is you have the ability to play all the different shots. I remember, you know, back when Tiger would come, he'd say, Hank, I got my draws going good, but I can't hit my fades. Or I got my low shots going, but I can't get the ball in the air. I got the high draw, but I can't hit the low draw. Or, you know, I got the low fade, I can't hit the high draw. Whatever it might have been. And it changes, you know, from day to day, even with, you know, arguably the greatest player ever, it would change from day to day. But everything was based on those nine shots. And what shot can you hit? What shot can't you hit? But if you're going to be the best you can possibly be, the ultimate, like I always say, have a plan that goes from A through Z. Now, you may not make it past, you know, C, D, or E, whatever, but you want a plan that could take you to be the best that you could possibly be. And to have that plan means that you have to be able to work towards being able to play those nine shots. It's the same thing in every sport. I mean, you know, if a basketball player, you know, can't dribble good with his left hand, you force him to his right hand. You know, if you shoot not so good from this side, but you shoot good from that side, then they're gonna force you over to the side that you're no good at. You know, in football, I mean, if you can't run the ball, then it's going to be hard to throw the ball because they're going to just all sit back on defense, and they're going to have all the defensive backs going to be back. And it, you know, if you're running the ball good, then it opens up the whole thing for you. It's you know, tennis. I mean, if you can't hit a topspin shot, which is a powerful shot in tennis, and that gets the players back, then you're never going to have an opportunity to hit that drop shot in front of them. It's the same in every sport. You want to have versatility in hockey. I mean, if a guy has no backhand, just force him to his backhand all the time, and always keep him over there where he can't hurt you with the forehand shot. So it's really the same thing. Because I have people that come to me and they'll say, like, Hank, I just want to fade the ball. And Marco Mira said this to me when I first coached him in like 1982. Mark hooked the ball a lot, and his you know, we were talking on the range at Pinehurst Hotel and Country Club, and he's telling me all about his games. I just want to fade the ball. I just want to fade the ball. And when somebody says they just want to fade the ball, that means that they've hooked it too much sometimes. Because truthfully, you don't just want to fade the ball. No, you don't want to fade the ball. You want to be able to work the ball both ways. You want to have both shots. You want to have the availability of going at every pin. And the idea is when you have a short iron, okay, wedge, whatever, just take it right at the pin. But if you have a middle iron, you know, let's say anything 7-iron on down, the ideal situation is you start the ball in the middle of the green and you work it to the pin. That's what I explain to people. Start the ball in the middle of the green, work it to the pin. Pins on the right, start in the middle of the green, fade it into the pin. Pins on the left, start in the middle of the green, draw it into the pin. And the reason you do that is because that enables you to be conservatively aggressive. What I mean by that is it's a conservative play to hit to the middle of the green, but if you can work the ball one way or the other, then you can get the ball closer to the pin without going to the pin. Because what you're trying to avoid is you're always trying to avoid a short side miss. And a short side miss means that if the pin's on the right side and you miss to the right, you have a short side, you got very little green to work with, you have a difficult pitch shot. And percentage-wise, even if you're, you know, Phil Mickelson, percentage-wise, you're not going to get that ball up and in as often as you will if you're chipping from the wide side. You could chip and run an 8-iron, you're going to get more of those up and in than flopping a wedge shot out of the rough with, you know, 9 feet of green to work with from the edge of the green to the pin. It's just a percentage deal. And the more you swing the percentage, and one of my students today, he got it, he understood it. He said it's like a mathematical equation. Exactly right. It's just statistically, do you have a better chance from here, or do you have a better chance from here? It's like I explained him this on putting. If you putt it up and you leave it, you know, 6 feet away, and your first putt's 6 feet away and you make it, and then your next putt's 6 feet away and you make it. And you leave it 6 feet away again, and you make it. And you make them all. No three putts today. Well, guess what? You're gonna have three putts tomorrow. And why do I say that? Because that 6 foot putt for a golfer of a, you know, that's a 10 or 15 handicap, that's a putt you're only gonna make 50% of the time. So if you make three in a row of those, it only means that you're going to miss three somewhere down the line to get back to 50%. That's just, and if you make them all tomorrow, and now you've made six in a row, then you got 12 coming up that you're going to miss, and you're going to be at 50%. Or if you make three today and three tomorrow, and, you know, one the next day, then you got 11 more misses that are coming somewhere along the line, because you're going to get back to that 50%. So what you're trying to do is you're always trying to just swing the odds in your favor, depending on your game. And the way that you do that is you avoid penalty shots, two chips, and three putts. Where do most people two chip from? From short side misses, even the pros. They miss it on the short side, try to get the ball close to the hole, and don't get it on the green, chip it up, boom, there's a chance for a double bogey. And that was always the key. When we would go to major championships, even, like I said, it's the same for every level. We go to a major championship, and I remember Steve Williams would say, he said, if we can just not make a double this week, we'll be right there. And how do you make double bogeys? You make double bogeys from taking penalty shots. You make double bogeys from two chipping. In other words, you miss the green with your iron shot, don't get it on the green, chip it on the green a second time, two putt, double bogey. Or miss the green, chip it on the green, three putt, double bogey. That's the difference. That's how you avoid a double bogey. Or for amateur golfers, worse. I mean, you know, miss the green, two chip, then a three putt, triple bogey. Or, you know, ball the water, miss the green, don't get it on the green, three putt, you know, quadruple bogey. This is how your scores add up. So everything is based on penalty shots, two chips, and three putts, and then being able to hit the nine shots. Now, you may be at a level of the game where you don't have nine shots. I mean, you might have one shot. You know, like a lot of people, they come for less. They got one shot. What's their one shot? They slice the ball. That's it. They got their one shot. Well, what we need to do is at least try to learn to draw the ball, to hook the ball. And now we got two shots. And when I've got two shots, at least I have a chance to do what Sam Snead said and find middle ground. Middle ground is straight. Middle ground is straight. So if you're slicing it, how do you find middle ground? You try to hook the ball. If you're hooking it too much, how do you find middle ground? You try to fade the ball. And that's a start. I mean, you know, nine shots is what you you want to have at your disposal at all times if you're Tiger Woods in his prime and you're trying to be the greatest player in the history of the game. But if you're just a golfer that's trying to, you know, get better, well, hey, I got one shot, you know, and I got a slice, or I got one shot, I got a hook, or, you know, I can hit some straight ones and I can, you know, hit some cuts, but I can't draw the ball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Camel.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The problem with that is that at some point that cut's going to get too big. And that's the problem with this when people say, I like to fade the ball. And I'm like, well, okay. Because then people come for lessons. They'll say, I like to fade the ball. I'm like, oh, that's great. I mean, that's fine. You can fade the ball. Like, just out of curiosity, what do you do when there's a left right win? What do you do when there's a left right win and there's trouble on the right? and all you can do is fade the ball. What do you do when there's a left-right wind and the whole dog legs, to the left? What do you do when there's a left-right wind, the pin's on the left, you got a ball below your feet lie, which you're going to miss to the right anyways. What do you do then? And the answer to that is that you don't. I mean, you have no chance. You can't hit the shot. So now that hole becomes extraordinarily difficult for you. You know, you got a pin on the left, right wind, ball below your feet, and all you got is a fade or a slice. And now you're gonna put the ball. Maybe you're going to hit the green, but if you do hit the green, you're going to have a 60 or 70 foot putt. Now, guess what's going to happen next? You're going to three putt, or you're going to miss the green, and you know now your chances of making a par, or you know in some cases even a bogey, are greatly diminished. So you want to be able to have all the shots and the ability to fix your game. When your game gets off, I'll give you a couple examples of this. One of them, I remember back in the day when Phil Mickelson first won the Masters, and he played a fade. You know, the Masters, through the years, kind of changed. It used to be a golf course where you really had to draw the golf ball. And you had to draw the golf ball because that gave you more distance, and a lot of the holes curved from right to left, like number two, the par five, number 13, the par five, they're right to left shots. Number 15 was the same way until they put all the another par five, but until they put all the trees up there on the right and thicken that up to kind of take that away, because it used to be started off to the right and just hit a sweep hook down there and you got a lot of distance and the equipment was such back in the day that the ball would tend to spin too much unless you hooked it. And when you hooked it, the spin rate got lower and the ball went farther. Well, nowadays the drivers spin a lot less, and you can actually cut the ball and not have it spin too much if you do it correctly. And when the spin rate came down on drivers, it became harder to draw the ball and easier to fade the ball, because when you fade it, the spin rate might come up just a little bit. It's easier to fade the ball. And all of a sudden, it kind of flipped, and Augusta became a great golf course for left-handed players because they could fade it. They could fade it off 2. They could fade it off 13. They could fade it off 10. And it was easier to fade it than it was to draw it. And Mickelson started doing great at the Masters, but when he first played that fade, I can remember, you know, like it was yesterday when Lanny Watkins was the announcer on TV, and he was like Mickelson's hitting that fade so good, he should always fade the ball. If he was smart, he'd never do anything but fade it the rest of his career. And I was always thinking to myself, oh boy, I mean, first off, he was Tiger's main rival in terms of playing, because Mickelson was a great player. Mickelson's one of the greatest players in the history of the game. And regardless of what anybody said, Mickelson was a great finisher. When you have a short game like he has, you can finish golf tournaments. Mickelson was fantastic. He was the one that we would always look at on the leaderboard. You know, like you know, I first get in at a major championship and go to the scoreboard, and the first thing I'm looking at is what did Phil Mickelson shoot? Because he wasn't a player you wanted to spot 5 or 6 shots going into Sunday. If that happened, you weren't going to catch him. That's not going to happen. He was great, great, great player. And Mickelson hit that fade, and Lanny Watkins said he should stay with that fade. He said, and I thought, you know what? If you stay with the fade long enough, the fade's going to turn into a slice. You have to be able to work the ball going both ways to find center ground. You know, it's like the example I use. I tell people, like, it's like if I told you to drive down the center of the road, and the road had no lines on it, but I said, I want you to drive down the center of the road. The only way you could do that is if you knew where the ditch on the right was and the ditch on the left was. And then you could calculate in your mind, where's the center of this road? But without any boundaries on the left and right, you can't find center ground. It's like telling somebody to drive your boat down the center of the ocean. There's no shore. I can't see the shore on the right or the shore on the left. It's forever. How do I know where center is? And the answer to that is you don't. And that's what it's like when you can only play one shot. You can't find center ground. The ability to draw the ball and fade the ball, do both. I always tell people, the road to good golf goes from slicing to hooking to good golf. Great golf, you get to by going from slicing to hooking to learning to fade it. Now you're at great golf. And that's the way that you have to do it. And this is why you need to be able to play the opposite shot of the one that you're comfortable with. So you can zero in on neutral, zero in on center ground, and not sway too much one way or the other. And if you can do that, then you're on your way to playing better golf. So when somebody comes for a lesson, I look and they, okay, which shot is their predominant shot? Where is their big miss? Where do they tend to miss the ball? What is their natural shot? And then we work in the opposite direction. My lesson today, the first swing was 6 degrees in to out. The next swing, 5.5 degrees in to out. The next swing, 6 degrees in to out. That's too much in to out. What kind of shot is that person going to hit? He's going to start the ball to right, and it's going to hook to the target. Or it's going to start to right and hook past the target. Or it's going to start to the right, and it's not going to hook because the path is too much in doubt. Like people say, what should my path be? What kind of shot are you trying to play? What kind of shot are you trying to play? If you're trying to play a little draw or a little fade, maybe 2 or 3 degrees in doubt, that's it. 2 or 3 degrees out to in if you're trying to play a fade, in doubt if you're trying to play a draw. But if you're 6 degrees, you're not going to be able to get to 3 degrees out to in. You're 6 degrees in to out. You're not going to be able to get to 3 degrees out to in where you need to be to play a fade. So now you've only got one shot. And when you got one shot, you're limited in the pins you can go to. You're limited on the holes that are set up in your favor. And your mistake is going to tend to get too big. And that's why, like, every lesson I give, I approach the same way, just like I just described to you. Fix your big miss, your bad shot, and then ultimately we're trying to learn how to be able to play the shot that is the least comfortable shot for me to play. And then if you start doing a little too much, just go back to the other a little bit. If you got the other a little too big, if you're drawing it too much, try to fade a little bit. If you fade a little too much, try to draw a little bit more. It's always a balancing act, trying to find middle ground. So that's just some food for thought. You can analyze your game, think about it. Where do you set? Which shots can you play? Which shots can't you play? And then somewhere down the line, you add some more shots to your repertoire, and then your game has more depth to it, and there's more shots that you can play, more pins you can get to, more holes that you can play, and your ability to fix yourself mid-round becomes much, much, much better. All right, if you have arthritis pain, let me suggest something to you. Voodoo Pain Relief Cream, my product, is absolutely fantastic. It's fully guaranteed. People that order it, just order it time and time and time again because it absolutely works. I've told people this, you know, so many times. It's like, this product is phenomenal. It is a patented product. It has all the best anti-inflammatory ingredients. It is a patented formula, and it works better than any product I have ever seen. Try it, 100% guaranteed, and you'll see why people just rave about this product. If you have arthritis pain, muscle soreness, joint pain, it will absolutely help you for sure. Just go to voodoopainrelief.com and check it out. All right, have a great day. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app, wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll talk to you soon on the Hank Haney Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.